Incoming transmission. Radio Rebellion. Welcome to the Rebellion, another episode of Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. How are you guys doing? Thanks for joining us today. My name is Alberto Calderon. You know that already. I'm your daily host. I'm the host of the show. Thanks for coming. Today is another great day for Star Wars love out there. The great team of Blast Doors, Beyond the Blast Door podcasts are having their podathon for a great cause for Make-A-Wish. So make sure that you head over there later today. If you're watching this now, head over there later. And if you're watching it, if you're over there now, then come over here later. No problem. You can watch this in the replay, live, in the chat later if you're around, or in the podcast later on. So as always, remember to like this video. Hopefully you like it, so go ahead and like. If it's your first time watching, thank you. And make sure that you're subscribed to our channel so you don't miss any of our content or our weekly shows. And most likely when we finally get the Mandalorian season 2 trailer, we'll do a quick breakdown, a first review of it when it comes down, and we'll see what else. But yeah, subscribe, like I said, like the video later on. And if you're watching this on the replay, make sure to leave a comment down below and I'll try to answer any of your questions. And of course, if you're listening to this later on the audio podcast, make sure that you also subscribe to it. And rate, review, goes a long way. Makes me know that you guys are liking what you're hearing. Or if you have any suggestions, let me know. Follow us on Twitter. Send me a comment and we'll work on it. But yeah, thanks to everyone that's here today. Thanks for everyone listening later. Show is growing slowly but surely. We're closing in on 50 subscribers here on our YouTube channel. So yeah, thanks to everyone out there. We're at 45, I believe, as of this recording. So yeah, if you're watching this for the first time, just you run into our little show, just make sure that you're subscribed to it. It goes, again, a long way. Just shows appreciation that you care. Quick programming note, and I might sound a little bit hypocritical, I guess, from some advice I gave our guests last week. We had a great new podcast, Triad of the Force. They were here, and we were talking. I don't remember if it was at the end of the show or after we were done recording backstage. We were talking about length of podcast episode, the desired length, and that's something that every podcaster kind of deals with. But I told them, hey, I've heard from fans that the length of a podcast should be whatever that topic, let the topic decide, basically. If it's a 30-minute show, then that's fine. If it's 2 hours, then that's fine also. And that's what I told them. But because some of my shows have been running long these past few weeks, we've had some great guests. And again, my most viewed episode is almost two and a half hours. Last week, we did over 2 hours, done a couple, an hour and 50 and stuff like that. But with that said, we're going to be making some changes here on Radio Rebellion, the Star Wars podcast, and have it a little bit more concise, a little bit more control of it. And shows like today, which are our solo shows, which again is a little bit weird today. It's the first time in about 6 weeks, I think, six shows where there's no guest. It's just me. So yay, if you were hoping for a guest and this is your first time, then sorry. Hopefully next time we'll have a guest for you guys. But any show that's a solo show just with me, we're going to do our best to keep it to 1 hour. So from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. if you're watching on YouTube during the live show. And if you're doing it later on the podcast, it really doesn't matter when you're hearing, listening to it. But every live show now, we're going to try to keep it to 1 hour, 5 to 6. And then our shows that we have guests on, which those usually are a little bit longer, we'll do those for 90 minutes. We'll try to be out by 6:30. So that's the plan. We'll see if it works. I don't expect no one to come in at 6 and say, okay, it's over, next show. But we'll try our best. Might be a little bit shorter, 55 minutes, might be 1 hour and 5, but we'll see. Trying to keep them down to 1 hour. So I don't ramble as much like I'm doing right now. But that's fine. If the conversation goes a little bit longer, then we'll go a little bit longer. But we'll see what happens. And we have a few guests on our live stream right now. Let me see who's here. Adam, always from a certain point of view, saying, hi, Alberto. How you doing, Adam? Thanks for joining. And Dale, of course, Dale Erdman. Thanks for being here. Certain part of you is saying, going to hang out as long as I can, sitting at the playground with my daughter. Not sure how long I'll have service here. Don't worry. I was at the playground with my kids also earlier this morning. And that's special time, especially now. You got to make sure you're spending as much time with the family as possible. So thanks again. Means a lot that you're spending a little time with me here. Keep an eye on your kid. Make sure nothing happens. Then you blame me. I don't want to hear it from you. But no, thanks again. Even if you're here for two more minutes, that's more than I can ask for. So thanks again to everyone that takes a little time to join in the chat with us tonight. All right. So what have you guys been doing this week? It's been, like I mentioned, a good Star Wars week. A lot of podcasts have been having their specials with Star Wars Celebration not happening. A lot of people had their specials last week. Just mentioned Beyond the Blast Door doing their podathon. I'm trying to reach on this bad boy here, Throne Ascendancy, Chaos Rising. Look at those blue pages. It's so pretty. I almost didn't get it. They tweeted out those blue pages, and I said, nah, I gotta get it. About 50 pages in, loving it so far. We'll try to have a review in the next couple of weeks. Like I said on Twitter, and I guess this kind of goes with that programming note, we have our show today. We're going to be talking about The Phantom Menace on our Rewind. And then next week, we're going to be off, taking a little break. And then when we come the following week, we'll do our review of Chaos Rising. I see from a certain point of view saying that it's so good. Again, so far, so good. I had my doubts, not about the quality of the book, but we just went through three Throne books this past couple of years. I wanted to take a break from Throne and get into something else. But I couldn't resist. And that's what happens with great Star Wars book. I started hearing a lot of good things, great things before it came out. So I decided to jump in and get it. And again, only 50 pages in, and it's making it so far so good, as you guys are saying out there. So yes, Phantom Menace this week. We'll be off next week. Chaos Rising review the following week. And from then on, we'll see what happens. But I think with that said, oh no, actually, I did get some Funko Pops. I know he's not here today, but Michael from 2met2 Network, he always says he doesn't collect Funko Pops. I think I collect Funko Pops. And here's what one of Finn, very fitting to get that this week. I got it before everything went down. But we'll be talking about that John Boyega interview. So we got a Finn from The Rise of Skywalker. Also have a Rey from Rise of Skywalker, but it's behind my laptop holding up my light, so I can show it to you guys right now. I think I tweeted it out or on Instagram. And then look at this. Oh, my goodness. Obi-Wan Kenobi from The Clone Wars. It's so pretty. Yes, the box is all messed up, but like I said, I take them out of the box, so it doesn't matter. I do have an Anakin to go with this, so I'm going to bring, which is at my work office. I'm going to bring it home and then display them properly. And finally, last but not least, that child, Baby Yoda. And actually, my wife got this, but it's mine. At least it's going to live in my office. But yeah, that's my Star Wars in this week. And let me say hi to someone, Barry Calbreth. I think it's the first time I've seen you here, Barry. Thanks for joining us today. So yeah, thanks, Barry. I see you're a little bit far behind on Chaos Rising. But again, I'm only 50 pages in. It's over 400 pages, so we're still both behind. But it doesn't matter. I don't want to rush that book. The Throne books are very dense, and if you're not paying attention, you'll be lost. So I want to take my time and not rush my review on it. All right. So with that kind of out of the way, if you guys are ready, I know I'm ready. Let's talk Star Wars. Star Wars news.
Star Wars news.
There we go. I should have done that. There we go. Star Wars news. So yes, finally this week we got some actual news. It's been pretty slow on the news front. We thought we were getting more news item this past week, given that it was supposed to be Star Wars Celebration. we all, at least myself, thought we were getting a lot of news. We got a little, but not a lot. We talked about it last week. Some video games were announced, video game trailers, a few more, no, no books, but just a couple of things. But then this week we have a couple of official news from Star Wars News, StarWars.com. But the big news is, oh, sorry, before we go, Barry from Galactic Brink. I started following you guys. Thanks for following back and for being here. So yeah, love the support. If you guys wanna and can subscribe to the YouTube channel here, I'll do the same thing with you guys, see your show. So the big news this week, which, well, let's just go into, you know what I'm talking about. And it's John Boyega speaks to British GQ about, he spoke with Jimmy Famurima about his experiences with Star Wars and his speech at Hyde Park during the Black Lives Matter protest, which inspired him to make a stand. I'm pretty sure everyone here saw his inspired speech, or his from the heart, the speech that he did back there a few months ago. It was a great speech from the heart with everything that has been going in the Black community and all the things we've talked about before, everyone kind of knows. But for our end, what we're going to talk about a little bit, and I do want to spend some time on it because it is an important topic, but at the same time, there's nothing I can say that is going to be better than what John said. So let's get into it real quick. So, and we'll focus on the Star Wars part of it because we are a Star Wars show, but there is so much more behind what he said than just Star Wars. And that's what people kind of don't understand. They just take Star Wars as the main part of it, but there was a lot behind it. But let me read some of the comments real quick. So John Boyega says, you get yourself involved in projects and you're not necessarily going to like everything. But what I would say to Disney is, do not bring out a Black character, market them to be much more important in the franchise that they are, and then have them pushed to the side. It's not good. I'll say that straight up. He's talking about himself. He's talking about Naomi Yaki, Kelly Marie Tran, even Oscar Isaac. And if you go a little bit more away from the sequel trilogy, we've seen this before, and we heard it from a lot of Star Wars fans, that they did something similar with Val in the Solo movie. Thandi Newton was brought out, and she went to all the press junkets, marketed as being heavily part of the crew, to basically be out of the movie in the first 30 minutes. And that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, because she's such a great actress. And I guess on my end, what I didn't understand was, a lot of people are complaining, oh, why did you cast someone as Thandi Newton and then just get her out of the way if it's not going to be important to the movie? And I was basically taking it, also, I think it's just because of the quality of actress that she is. Maybe if they just go with an unknown, people wouldn't be so angry about it. But it's not that. It's taking, and this is what John Boyega is referring to, having an actor who's Black or a minority, a person of color, and then just brought out to do all this press with all the toys, all the marketing behind it, basically selling us that they're going to be a big part of the movie. For Finn, it's a big part of this new trilogy, just to be cast to the side. So it's like, yeah, we have this minority character, everyone's excited about it, but in the end, it's just a bait and switch, which is something that he said. And of course, it doesn't feel right for him as an actor, and more importantly, as a person, and for the audience that relates to those characters, it's also a negative. So he also goes on to say, like, you guys knew what to do with Daisy Ridley. You know what to do with Adam Driver. You knew what to do with these other people. But when it came to Kelly Marie Tran, when it came to John Boyega, you know, F all. So what do you want me to say? What they want you to say is, I enjoy being a part of it. It was a great experience. No. I'll take that deal when it is a great experience. They gave all that nuance to Adam Driver, all that nuance to Daisy Ridley, let's be honest, and that Daisy and Adam knew about it. So it's no surprise to them. And this is when people in the Star Wars fandom start taking it the wrong way, or taking it too personal, basically saying, just be happy that you're cast in this great movie. And he does go on to say that he's grateful to be cast and for how many doors this has opened to him. But at the same time, it's not that. It's you can't just say, yeah, you're casting this movie, be grateful for anything that happens. If he feels that his experience was a negative one for all the other reasons that he expresses in this interview, who are we to say that he's wrong? We can have our own opinions about the Finn character, and if we think that his journey and his transition through the saga means something to us, or if it was a complete journey, we can argue that part. But to tell John or anyone, hey, your experiences are wrong, stop complaining, just be happy, that's a big no-no. You can't tell someone that their experiences are wrong. As a manager, I've told my employees, when people that work with other people know this happens all the time, there's conflict that always happens. And I tell my guys, it's not just what you say, because you might say something in a joking manner, but it's the person on the other side, the way they interpret what you're saying, that's the issue. Because I might be joking with someone, to me it's a joke, for that person it's very personal, and I can't go and say, hey, you're wrong because of the way you're feeling. That's your experience. I can't tell you that you're wrong. So for people to jump on John Boyega's back and start saying, no, stop complaining about it, be happy that you're in Star Wars, then no, get out of here. And I think most of the people that I follow and that follow me fall on that same boat. You can say that, no, I think Finn's character, his arc was complete. You can argue that point, but to say that he's wrong in his experience making this movie, that's when we run into big problems. Before we continue, look who's here. Anthony from a rural farm boy doing a double live chat stuff, but it can be done. If someone can do a double live chat, it's you, Anthony. RFB, thanks for being here. I saw you in a few of those. Beyond the Blast Door Podathon live stream. Also, you do a great job. Last week, you were a moderator for the Force Fest saga. So Anthony's everywhere. Again, thanks, Anthony, for taking a few minutes to be with us here today and doing this double live stream. Hopefully you don't get confused or mixed up with everything that's going on. But yes, and then John keeps on saying, I'll go back to my final point in a minute. He also says, I'm the only cast member who had their own unique experience of that franchise based on their race. Let's just leave it like that. It makes you angry with a process like that. It makes you much more militant. It changes you. Because you realize I got given this opportunity, but I'm in an industry that wasn't even ready for me. Nobody else in the cast had people saying they were going to boycott the movie because they were in it. Nobody else had the uproar and death threats sent to their Instagrams, DMs, and social media. Sorry for the noise. Saying black this and black that, and you shouldn't be a stormtrooper. Nobody else had that experience, but yet people are surprised that I'm this way. That's my frustration. So again, it's... We all saw this when the first trailer for Force Awakens came out, or even before that, when he was cast in the movie, we started hearing a lot of those comments. And then when the trailer came out, we saw him as a stormtrooper. We didn't know what he was cast in the movie. And then we saw him as a stormtrooper. And again, those racist and hurtful comments about there's no black stormtrooper, you shouldn't be in Star Wars. Then of course, again, there's no reason to say any of this. And then going back to his point about it's bait and switch, a lot of it is unfortunately the way that Hollywood and a lot of movies work now. They'll try to sell you something just to flip it during the actual movie. We've seen this not the same way, but from Marvel, they'll give you a trailer and a lot of those scenes are then changed for the movie just so you don't know what's going on. For Star Wars, and I don't remember if I thought this maybe, but I guess my memory isn't that good from a few years ago. We were sold on the idea that Finn was going to be a Jedi. He was on all the posters holding a lightsaber, those great posters that were covering the face. He had that lightsaber on. The trailer showed him with the lightsaber facing Kylo Ren, just so they didn't have that switch that, no, he's not a Jedi and won't be. It's going to be Rey, which again, then it goes, oh, people are bashing on Rey and Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver. No, you don't get the point. We can have that balance. But again, we live in a society that people have this option of just going online and spewing whatever they want and don't take what that person felt as his experience, which again is what I think we should be listening to. And what I want to point out at the end before we finish this is, And this is the writer of the piece, Jimmy Famurima, saying that John was on a breathless roll now, breaking his long corporate omerta to touch on the unthinking systemic mistreatment of Black characters in blockbusters. They're always scared, they're always freaking sweating, and what he sees as the relative salvage job that returning director J.J. Abrams performed. We'll touch on that in a minute. And then, sorry, I forgot to get this out. Sorry, Anthony. And then also, but to diminish these words as merely professional bitterness or paranoia is to miss the point. His primary motivation is to show the frustration and difficulties of trying to operate within what can feel like a permanently rigged system. And I think that's what a lot of people miss from this interview. Yes, Star Wars is mentioned as a big part of the way he's thinking now, his experience, but it's not just him. Like I said, this happened to Thandie Newton. We saw it with Kelly Marie Tran. People of color, Black men, Black women, minorities being sold as, hey, look, we have diversity in our cast just to not be important in the movie, or having that bait and switch. And then what he's saying, just feel happy that you were cast in this role. That's the problem. Yes, it's Star Wars is part of it, but the problem is the systemic of always, yeah, let's be diverse. Let's bring all this diversity and then not make them the leads or show them prominently as being part of the main plot of the movies. And that's what he's getting at. At least that's what I got of it. Like I said, I can't say things better than he did. Star Wars Twitter went on a bender when this interview happened. I think at 7 a.m. I tweeted out the interview and said, please read it. This is going to create a lot of think piece Twitter threads of people just either reading the title or reading someone else's tweet without reading the article. And then everything's going to go out the window. And that's what happened to a lot of it. A lot of people started bashing The Last Jedi and Rian Johnson because he made some comments about J.J. Abrams came into the last one to fix it. Although a lot of people love The Last Jedi. And again, a lot of people also said you can still love The Last Jedi and be behind what John Boyega is saying. I think we're all in that same page. So that happened this past week. And we stand with Boyega. Some people are using out there King Boyega. There's a lot in that interview, but it's not just about Star Wars. It's about the system in general. Whew. All right, with that said, let me say hi to someone else that showed up in the chat. Our friend Michael Condor from the 2Met2 Network. He's here. Yes, sorry. He's saying, well, you started without me. Sorry, Michael. Sorry. We started without you. So for some of you guys that came to chat a little bit later, I was saying that we're making some changes to our program in terms of our duration of the show. We're keeping it to 1 hour when it's just me talking, like today. We're keeping it to 60 minutes. And when we have guests on, we'll try to keep it a little bit longer to 1.5 hours. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So that basically ends our conversation about the John Boyega interview. Again, there's a lot. If you guys haven't seen it, please look for it. There is British GQ. Doesn't just talk about Star Wars. His new projects coming on. His experience just growing up in doing movies. There's a great comment that he makes about one of the first movies he was doing and getting almost robbed in this boat they were taking. Plus, again, his speech that he made up at Hyde Park. So there's a lot of great things in that interview. All right, so we're moving on. And this is where we start with our official news coming from StarWars.com. I'm a little dumb. It's a lot of shadow today. And it is Master Yoda is coming back to the High Republic. Look at that spry young Jedi Master. So StarWars.com confirmed that a 700-year-old Master Yoda will appear in the comic book Star Wars The High Republic Adventures by Daniel Jose Alder. Alder goes on to describe Yoda as, where am I? The High Republic Yoda is a journeyman out in the galaxy. He adds, well, he's already a respected member of the Jedi Council at this point. We hope he's 700 years old. We meet Yoda in IDW's The High Republic Adventure series doing what he loves best, looking out for the young folks. In this case, a group of Padawans traveling around the galaxy to learn the ways of the Jedi with a hands-on approach. Alder goes on to say the Force Study Abroad program, basically. So yes, StarWars.com gave us this great look at a young Yoda. Can you say that he's that young? Does he look any different there? You go to StarWars.com, they have a great article on Yoda and on this new look. And that's not the only one we got. Look at this one. This, a lot of friend of the show, Cam Ray, had a fun with this one. And a lot of people are calling this side-eye Yoda. Has that little side-eye going. So there's a lot of information in StarWars.com about the new Yoda concept art, talking about his new clothes, how they went about updating his wardrobe, which again doesn't seem that different apart from that golden belt that he has. It looks pretty similar to what we've seen before. Might be a little bit different up in the color. Not a lot of gray hairs on Yoda this time around. I do like his other one. This darker one does look pretty awesome with, of course, the green lightsaber. So yes, we talked about this last week again with Try Out the Force, and I think we've mentioned it before when we've done our High Republic chats here on the channel. That actually, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I know we did talk about it last week that Yoda most likely will show up in the High Republic. It makes sense. It is, what, 200 years before the events of the Phantom Menace, so Yoda is around, he's part of the High Council. Probably not a member of the High Council yet, but he's there, so it makes sense to have a familiar face. It is in IDW's The High Republic Adventures, which I believe is a comic book line. I don't know how many issues it's going to be or how integrated to it Yoda's going to be. I imagine that we'll see Yoda also in some of the other books that we're going to be getting, some of the novels. So yeah, what do you guys think about Yoda showing up in the High Republic? I think it's a no-brainer that he's gonna be there. I hope that it's not as a main character, that the whole book doesn't revolve around him, but it'll be good to have him around. He's a great master. He has all those great Yoda quotes, so it'll be good to see Yoda back again. So let me know what you guys think about it down in the comments. If you wanna jump in the chat and tell me, yay or nay for Yoda in the High Republic. Does he look any different in any of those pictures? Because they do mention that they spent a lot of time coming up with a new Yoda design. But if you tell me this is Yoda, to me it looked pretty similar. But again, I'm not a concept artist, so I don't know all the work that goes into it. And our final official news from this week, we got some Mandalorian Season 2 trailer. No, we got the official premiere date from StarWars.com for The Mandalorian, saying that it will premiere on Friday, October 30th. It's a little bit later than we thought. I did mention last week somewhere, it wasn't a few shows last week, that I thought the season was coming a little bit earlier. It might have been just a rumor out there from months ago. I thought it was going to be the first week of October that it was going to drop. But now we learned that it's going to be October 30th. Which is fine, still earlier than season one, which came out in November. So season two, October 30th, that gives us basically almost 2 months still before it premieres. So enough time for the trailer to come out, for more information about it to come out. We talked before why we didn't think that trailer didn't come out last week or the week before. Either they weren't ready, they were reshooting a few things or adding stuff to the trailer, which was the last rumor, adding more Ahsoka to it. We also know from other people within Lucasfilm or Disney saying, or I should say just in the business, how long all these things kind of take, and that process. It's not just let's decide today to drop it tomorrow. This is, our decisions have been made months ago. So we'll just wait, but with 2 months to go, we still have time to see that trailer. We still have time to get more information. I'm sure there's going to be a spread in some areas in Variety, Entertainment Weekly or something. We'll do a spread, and we'll see. We'll show to get something from Favreau Filoni on their Instagram. They usually drop a picture or two. So yeah, it's coming soon, not too far away, and we'll see what happens. Okay, so before we keep going, Michael from Tumetu Network adds about Yoda, just real quick, like for that old troll man. Yeah, he is a little troll man. Dale is adding, I think they'd be all right with him as a main character, but not a central character. I think that's fair enough, Dale. Thanks for, I think you corrected my saying. So yes, not a main character, but not a central character. Let's have all the new cast kind of take over all these new stories. And yeah, we still don't know where the trailer is. So my new thing, Mulan just dropped this week on Disney Plus. I think it's coming out in a few select theaters soon, so maybe it drops there. There's a lot happening these past few weeks. We had DC fandom, unfortunately, then the passing of Chadwick Boseman. So Disney had their hands full with that. And then I think the new Doom trailer is dropping in a few days. There were a lot of magazine articles about it. I think Variety or someone else, one of those big magazines out there, did a big spread on Doom. So I think they're waiting for that to die out a little bit. Again, the Doom trailer comes out in about 2 or 3 days, probably wait for that to go, and then release the Mandalorian season 2 trailer. NFL football is starting in a week or 2 weeks. They can do something on Monday Night Football. So knowing now that it starts October 30th, I think it will be closer to about 2 weeks from now, 2 to 3 weeks when we'll see the trailer. But I have no idea, and I'm not going to keep suffering about it. We'll drop when it drops. We'll get an announcement a few days earlier. We'll see. We're all excited for it and can't wait. So, yes, Mandalorian Season 2, October 30th, coming to a TV station near you. TV station, TV channel, Disney Plus. Come on, stream. And again, it's on a Friday, so everything from last season dropped on Fridays. I know that I think they did episode one on a Tuesday and then episode two Friday, and then everything else on a Friday. So it looks like it's going to drop on Friday and keep going that way, which is fine. It's what we kind of expected. Whew. All right. So we're in the half point of our show already. Again, trying to keep it to 1 hour. It's been 32 minutes. So let's jump into our main topic. And it's our Star Wars Rewind of the Phantom Menace. Look at that. Look at that young boy there. So, yes, we're going to be doing this. I think it's about time. It's something that every show does, and it's kind of go back and rewatch the movies and talk about them a little bit, explore them from a different perspective. And I said it's kind of time. I haven't done my listing, my ranking, I should say, and that's not coming yet. My Star Wars ranking will come at the end of all movies. I'm watching and talking about all the theatrical releases, including the Clone Wars movie. We'll see. And then at the end, we'll do a big show about all our favorite things about everything Star Wars. I got a long list going. But we're starting with the one that started it all in terms of chronologically and the Star Wars saga, the Skywalker saga, I should say. And that's episode one, The Phantom Menace. But we're going to do this a little bit different. I was thinking, what's the best way of doing this? Because everyone has done this before. I don't want to rethread what people have said already. And I don't want to spend, because if I want to go step by step on this movie, scene by scene, it will be another 2 hours, which we're trying not to do. So we're going to be doing it a different way, but that's fine. It's going to be fun. I got you guys here. I keep saying I don't have any guests this week. You guys are my guests in the chat, watching later in the replay of this or listening to the audio podcast. You guys are my guests. You're always with me, and I appreciate you guys for this. But what we're going to be doing for our look back, or like I call it, our rewind of The Phantom Menace, we're going to touch on a few topics. First off, we're going to be talking about that trailer. We're going to be talking about the poster, the title, our thoughts and experience going into the movie for the first time, our thoughts and experience coming out of it when we watched it that first time, how our viewing has changed, or our thoughts on the movie has changed through the years. And then we'll end up with what we like and what we didn't like. So let's start with the title, The Phantom Menace. So this is a great title, of course. It has a lot of different meanings, and I'm sure that we're going to have different opinions of these different views of who is The Phantom Menace, what is The Phantom Menace. I'm going into the movie, to me it was, oh, it's Darth Maul. Again, this came out 1999, so I was 18, going on 19 years. I didn't have all these deep philosophical thoughts about it or Twitter or anyone to tell me I was wrong. But the Phantom Menace, does it mean, and I guess the most prevalent thought out there, I don't know if it's been officially said, is that it's Palpatine slash Darth Sidious, the Phantom Menace, right? He's hiding in the shadows as this political mastermind helping everyone, when at the other end, he's playing both sides. So is he the Phantom Menace? Is it Darth Maul as this dark Sith Lord? Is it, again, the made out of the shadows because they were gone for so long? Is it Anakin Skywalker that is going to turn to Darth Vader, turn to the dark side? Is that the Phantom Menace? So it's one of those things from Star Wars that we touched upon a little bit, I think last week or the week before, how titles, not just for the movies, but the TV shows in The Mandalorian and also in Clone Wars, have different meanings, how you want to interpret them. But yes, the Phantom Menace is a great title, one of the best titles out there for Star Wars. And again, has all those different meanings. I'm seeing a lot of people jumping in already on the chat, and let's go through them. Anthony Rudolph Farnborough say that for him, it was Palpatine. They'll add a lot of different explanations. And yes, again, that's a great thing about Star Wars that we keep saying here when people complain about, oh, this is my favorite movie. The Last Jedi is the best. No, it's the worst. Rise of Skywalker. Everything that I see Star Wars in a completely different way that everyone out there and vice versa. And I see it, I have another different meaning for them. And that's why we enjoy them so much. I enjoy talking about Star Wars so much with friends like you guys, because we all see it from a different point of view. So title Phantom Menace, great title, a lot of great meanings behind it. After that, let's go to the poster, because I'm going to show this again. So this is the best poster ever, right? I'm not saying anything that the people don't know. It's just one of the posters out there. But when you compare this to a lot of the posters now, which is every single character, and don't get me wrong, I love those posters. You can take a lot of meaning out from them. But when this poster dropped, come on, my jaw dropped just as fast. Look at that poor Anakin, 8-year-old Anakin Skywalker in the sands of Tatooine with the shadow of Darth Vader behind him. I don't know who created this poster, but again, he's on the Mount Rushmore of poster designs. What else can you say about that poster? I'm pretty sure I had this in my room when it came out. So I don't know where it is right now. Probably I ripped it at some point, but it's one of the best posters out there. In my opinion, it's probably the best Star Wars poster of those original ones that have come out. I know they've done some revamping to a lot of the older ones, which are, again, those minimalistic posters, I think, are the best. Yes. Before we go, Dale Erdman also added that he, and I believe he's talking about Palpatine and Maul, are both pretty much defined as phantoms. Nobody knew if the Sith would reveal themselves or when, or even if they knew they existed anymore. Yes, and that's both Yoda and Mace Windu make mention of this. They've been gone for a millennia. Who's the others? Always two there are, but who was destroyed? The Master of the Apprentice. But yeah, both of them were phantoms, and it's just how you take away from it. But yeah, again, great poster. There's the other poster with all the characters on them and the title head, every journey has a beginning, or every saga has a beginning, which again is a great one, but nothing compares to this great poster. Let me show it one more time. Yeah, that's just great out there. All right, so let's jump to the trailer. So I think this was the first trailer that came out, and it just starts beautifully. And I love this trailer when I saw it that first time. I did like it when I watched it a few days ago, but you can see that it is a very 90s trailer. A lot of quick shots of everything going on, all the new characters, everything going on. But it starts with that mist on Naboo and these weird creatures walking out, with an even weirder creature on top riding this beast out of the mist, and already Gungan army coming out. So for me, that was a great shot. I hadn't seen this in Star Wars before, that great shot of something coming through the mist. We have Puppet Yoda, which I forgot was there. I love Puppet Yoda. I know a lot of people didn't like it, I guess George Lucas didn't, because I forgot about this. I watched the movie this afternoon, a few hours ago. It changed. Now it's CGI Yoda on the actual movie, but if you go back to that original trailer, it was still Puppet Yoda, which did look a little weird, but I think it was fine. I love seeing Puppet Yoda originally. Again, this trailer, a lot of people, I wasn't one of them. I think it came out during Meet Joe Black, the Brad Pitt movie. A lot of people bought tickets just to see the trailer and then walked out of the movie. Again, with being 18 years old, I didn't have that money to waste on a movie I wasn't going to see. So I waited till it came out. I don't remember when I saw the trailer and some movie I saw it, because back then, no YouTube, no Twitter, anything to see movie trailers. You had to go to movies to see them. And we have Yoda saying that great quote of fear leads to hate. No, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Again, great Yoda line, puppet Yoda. The only thing I didn't like, Darth Maul got revealed on the trailer and also his double-bladed lightsaber. So if that happened today, people would go nuts. You ruined the movie, the big surprise, the big bad guy. You saw his special weapon. So that's the only thing I didn't like about it, because it did kind of break that surprise a little bit. But it doesn't matter, because when that happened in the actual movie, we'll go into it in a few minutes. Dale asks about the poster. It could have even been foreshadowing of Anakin's fall to the dark side. Simply being Jar would have also been an acceptable Phantom Menace. No, I do agree about the Anakin falling to the dark side, talking again about the title. And the Darth Jar Jar theory is out there. I don't subscribe to Darth Jar Jar theory. I know some people do, and others are just poking fun at it, which is fine. Some people take it seriously, but all right, Jar Jar. I have a soft spot for Jar Jar. I'll say that. All right, so what were my thoughts and expectations going into the movie? I don't remember exactly what I did when I heard that Episodes 1, 2, and 3 were coming out. I do remember being extremely excited about this. Love Star Wars. I mentioned before, I always loved Star Wars and got back into them when the special editions came out on theaters. So seeing that Episodes 1, 2, 3 were coming out, extremely excited. I remember going a few times to see this movie in the theaters. Love all the hype, waiting for it. Again, seeing that trailer, all the new shots, the things I hadn't seen about Star Wars before, getting to see a young Yoda, a young Obi-Wan, all these new Jedi, and then seeing Darth Maul is just, no, we gotta be there, gotta be there. So yes, great experience going into it. And then coming out, I love that movie. Phantom Menace, again, it's Star Wars, so yes, this is one of the best movies ever. That Darth Maul scene was great. That new Sith, it's just crazy. Too bad that they killed him. They made a mistake killing him, but don't matter. That music, oh, Duel of the Fates, that's the greatest soundtrack ever. I bought a movie soundtrack because of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. I bought it, or my aunt gave it to me. I had that on loop afterwards, just listening to everything. That soundtrack is great. I even got, which I don't have anymore, I'm kind of sad about it, the visual dictionary for The Phantom Menace. And I think this is something my aunt got me for my birthday, probably my 19th birthday in July, the soundtrack and the visual dictionary. I had those at home for years. I don't know where they are now. So yes, great experience coming out that first time. And then, of course, you start going down. You start getting all this saga about how the prequel trilogy sucked. It didn't live up to the original one. And it goes down a little bit. Oh, you hear all these things about Jar Jar and people not liking him. He's just too silly. This is made for kids. And again, it's people that grew up with the original trilogy are a little bit older now. And they're not, I want something a little bit for me. So it threw people off the kilt, I guess. I've never had that issue with Jar Jar as being this annoying character that ruined everything. He had some funny gags, especially at that age, what I was. But again, I focused more on the Jedi and the Sith. That was my thing. So I didn't suffer too much about it. Like I said earlier, I have a soft spot for Jar Jar, because every time I put the Phantom Menace, my mom would say, oh, is that the one with the goat? So it looked like a goat to her. So now I have that memory of her. Every time I see Jar Jar, it reminds me of her. So I've grown to love Jar Jar a little bit more. And then through the years, the way I've seen The Phantom Menace, like I said, I loved it when it came out. It went down a little bit. I said I'm not doing my rankings right now. It's always been in the bottom three. But I tell you, just watching it today, earlier this afternoon, I love this movie. Phantom Menace is a great movie. It has some cheesy parts, But I'm watching this. If this is the first time, no, let me, if I watch Phantom Menace, which I did, and tomorrow I go to a friend's house and I say, hey, let's watch Phantom Menace. And then I say, hey, I just watched it, let's do something. I'll be, yes, put Phantom Menace on. Great movie. Really enjoyed it. I don't know how it's going to fall on my rankings because there's so many great movies coming up after this. But I can't just say, yes, it's in my bottom. That's a bad Star Wars movie. I love The Phantom Menace. The first 30 or 40 minutes, I'm like this. I'm so engaged on it. And yes, we'll talk about it. It might still fall in the bottom half of my rankings. But personally, I enjoyed it so much this time. And I don't know if it's me getting older or just seeing it with a different set of eyes, but I enjoyed it a lot. Seeing it as a parent also is different. I've talked about it on our Mothers in Star Wars episode. That scene in Tatooine with Anakin leaving to join the Jedi and Shmi Skywalker saying goodbye to her son breaks my heart. I teared up again today. I know it's coming, but it tears me up being a parent saying, I'm letting my 8-year-old son leave. Yes, he's going to have a better life, I hope, because I'm sending him with a stranger. But I'm stuck here wishing, hoping that he's going to be okay. And again, this happens in such a quick time because it's, okay, we have the pod race. You won. Okay, you're freed. Get your stuff. We're leaving. So in 15 minutes, it's you've been freed from a, you're no longer a slave. You're coming with me to be a Jedi. Sorry, I can't free your mom, but say goodbye. Oh, man, that's so heartbreaking. And I know people give George Lucas a lot of BS for his writing style and some of his nuances. But to me, this works great. Heartbreaking, again, as a 19-year-old kid, go, Anakin, I want to see the fights. Seeing it now, it's so heartbreaking. I love that scene. Shmi Skywalker is a great mom, and it breaks your heart seeing that, because you can see when Anakin asks Qui-Gon, wait, is mom free or is mom coming with us? There's a quick shot of her that she has that hope in her eyes that maybe I'll be free, and then Qui-Gon, sorry, Watto wouldn't have it. And then she jumps back to that mother mode. It doesn't matter. What does your heart tell you? I'll see you again. But then she tells her, don't look back. Like, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. It's your life now. You gotta do what's best for you. Don't look back. And of course, we know what happens with Anakin going forward. But it's a great scene. So again, seeing it again through the years, it went down a little bit. Today, love this movie. All right, so let me see some of your comments real quick. Dale also asks, things people freak out about today aren't that big of a deal. The Clone Wars did a lot for Attack of the Clones, and the Mandalorian or other stories can do the same for the sequel trilogy. That's right. And that's actually our Ask the Rebellion question. It's similar to that one, so we'll go to it in a few minutes. Anthony asks, I never understood folks dislike back in 99 for the Phantom Menace till I learned they had expectations. Really, people have expectations about Star Wars and then go nuts when they aren't met? Yes, I don't understand people. Just see the movie. If you liked it, great. If you didn't, that's fine. But don't say, oh, it didn't meet my expectation because I wanted A, B, C, or D. That's when we get into trouble. Michael from Tumetud adds, I've joined the Phantom Menace. I will no longer speak to any of you. Good day. Thank you, Michael. You'll be back. I know you'll be back. And Dale also asks, back then I wasn't into spoilers and speculation. Speculation leads to expectation. Expectations lead to disappointment. Disappointment leads to anger. Couldn't say it any better than Dale just did. So let's move on. And you're right. Again, people now, they just have all this speculation. This is what I want. So every time I say want here on the show, I try to change it. This is what I hope. It's not what I want. All right, so what did we like about this movie? A lot of things. Let's start with this score, one of the best scores and best themes in Star Wars. You got Duel of the Fates up there as one of the tops. So one that isn't talked about too much, which I love, is the score to the theme to, I can't remember if I forgot, the Trade Federation. That score, oh man. Great, great score. Because every time Darth Sidious is on screen, we get the little the chanting going. It's great. It's those three, only those three are great, but the whole score from The Phantom Menace is great. The visuals are great in this movie. Like I mentioned, that scene of the Gungan army coming out of the mist, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan in the Trade Federation ship waiting for to have the negotiations, and TC-14 at your service, then dioxin gas comes in. Again, same thing, you got all that smoke or that mist, and then the lightsabers turn on and you only see the blades. Oh, great visual. Qui-Gon jamming his lightsaber into the blast doors where the Trade Federation guys are, Knut Gunray and his crony. When he first starts doing the circle, and then when they close the blast doors, jams the lightsaber, the Jedi theme picks up. One of my favorite shots in all of Star Wars. We got Coruscant. It's a great visual, especially that dawn, or yeah, at, not dawn, at dusk, when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are talking. You have the city in the background. It's all orange. The sun are setting. That's a great visual. The Naboo city is another great visual. The underground. So there's a lot of great visuals in this movie. I know it gets panned because of all the CGI. We also know that it's the Star Wars movie that has the most practical effects or the most practical sets, a lot of miniatures. So there are a lot of great shots in this movie. Oh, how could I forget? Hearing the fanfare, the 20th Century Fox fanfare, and then seeing again a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's been, what, since 83, now it's 99, I can't make math, so 17, 16 years since a Star Wars movie. Seeing that in the big screen again puts you in the mood, a great way to get you back into Star Wars. The reveal of the Jedi, they're just walking in with their hoods on. So it's only seeing basically Obi-Wan in A New Hope with the whole Jedi robe at this time. And then to have two Jedis, him and Qui-Gon, in this new ship, and then all of a sudden take their hoods back. It's a great reveal for the Jedi. I love the reveal for Darth Sidious because he comes up pretty early in the movie. So it's a great reveal. Of course, everything with Darth Maul in this movie is great. And sorry, again, we're not going chronologically through the movie, just everything that we loved about this movie. So the design of Darth Maul is a great design that we all love. It's iconic. I'm not going to say as iconic as Darth Vader, but it's up there as a great Star Wars design. His voice is great. The way he was introduced in the hologram coming behind Palpatine is a great one. His lines, he only talks twice, and, oh, at last we'll reveal ourselves to a Jedi. At last we'll have revenge. Come on, what else? Let me see. I wrote down a lot of things. So, pod racing. So a lot of people say, yeah, Phantom Menace, Darth Maul, and pod racing. So if those are the only things you like about Phantom Menace, that's great. Pod racing scene, the sound design, the sound mixing, the pod racing scene is exquisite. You can listen, every single pod has a different sound of the engines. I love the pod racing scene. We also get introduced to Aura Singh in that pod racing. Again, another background character that then grew up in the Clone Wars. And in that visual dictionary that I had, either in the front flap or the back flap was Aura Singh and the little Aura Singh on top. And that's how you knew the character the first time. And then it gets all this background after in the Clone Wars. So a lot of new alien species that we didn't knew, the Neimodians, and again, I'm not going to go into the other controversy about their accents and all that, but the Neimodian design is a great design. We get introduced to a lot of new alien creatures in Star Wars, Neimodians, the dog with Sebulba is another great design. Toydarians is another great design, the way they're just flying. So again, great alien species in Star Wars. Too bad we haven't seen a lot more of them, Toydarians and dogs. I know we got one dog in Attack of the Clones, but I haven't seen a lot of them afterwards. But also, great new planets. We know Tatooine, but we got to see a little bit more of it. Coruscant is another great planet. Yeah, the whole planet is a city or whatever. But again, great visuals. Lord Sidious, like I mentioned, his reveal every time he comes up is great. I love that Droidekas. Master destroyers, just there are no match for Droidekas. I love that droids have two different names, Droidekas and destroyers. Just again, the sound, they're just rolling, and then when they flip into the robot mode with the Blast Shield is a great design. The names Droid Decas and Destroyers are great. So I've always loved the Droid Decas. Again, Puppet Yoda. I didn't mind Puppet Yoda. I did like him a lot when I saw him originally. Now he's a CGI Yoda, which is fine. So yeah, what else? So I mentioned Aura Sing. Shmi Skywalker is another great female character in Star Wars that I wish we could get more. But what she means to Star Wars is a lot. And she was acted beautifully. I don't know the actress' name, but she did a great job with it. So before we jump into some of the things we didn't like, since we're running a little bit out of time, so we mentioned Darth Maul. Do love the face, not just the score, but the fight. It's up there as one of the top three, at least for me, best fight scenes in Star Wars. Say what you want to say about being too choreographed. This is Star Wars. That's lightsaber battle that we wanted to see. We complain of the New Hope battle between Vader and Obi-Wan. So now we got the other extreme. And then with the score behind it, it's a great fight. And what I love seeing it today, you have that great Duel of the Fates score. But then when it gets to the end, when it's just Maul versus Qui-Gon, which again, you see both sides when they're both being divided by this blast door, I'm gonna call it that energy door. Maul is pacing because he's this destructive animal and Qui-Gon is settled, letting the force in. And when it changes that they start fighting again, there's no music. So the score goes away, just the two of them fighting. And the same way when it's Obi-Wan's turn. So I love that they cut the music and just let the emotion of the fight go. And I think that's another reason why this fight works so well. I know some people complain about it, but it's a great fight. Another thing I love about this movie, we get to learn more about the Living Force. And this is through Qui-Gon. I think Qui-Gon is a great addition to the Jedi. It's a great Jedi. It's been getting better with time going by, a lot of people enjoying Qui-Gon. There's a lot more ancillary material about him. And just to end this, Phantom Menace shows how good George Lucas is at world building and expanding the galaxy, expanding the universe, which is what we said that we want. Oh, that universe is so big, give us more. This movie did that for that time. We got, like I mentioned, a bunch of new planets, a bunch of new species, more information about how the Force works, and we still don't know how the Force works. But there's a lot of great stuff in this movie. I really love The Phantom Menace. All right, so I can keep going, but cutting it close on time. I got a few more things to do before then. So what we didn't like, yes, Jar Jar Binks can be a little bit annoying, especially during that final battle with the droid army. He getting tangled with the boomers and doing this and taking Tarpaul down. Oh, okay. Once it's funny, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, it gets a bit much. I do understand him being annoying that part. Are you an angel? I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son. They don't talk like this. So to have Anakin, I believe he's 8 or 9 in this movie, saying something like that. Are you an angel? Kids don't speak. 10-year-old kids don't speak like this. So that's weird. Padme, kind of, she's 14, I think, and he's 8 or 9. Kind of weird. But again, we'll leave that for Attack of the Clones. The VFX, the CGI of some of the background creatures is a little bit off, especially when they're on Tatooine. And that's when I think that CGI doesn't work too well in this movie. I think the OPs, the creatures that take the flag before the pod race, one of them fighting with C-3PO and Jar Jar, again, not really needed. I don't know where I fall off on Anakin building C-3PO. So you guys let me know. Are you okay that Anakin built C-3PO? Is that just shoehorning too much in? Then I have a question for you guys. Maybe there's an answer and I don't know. Why is there a reactor core in the middle of the palace, right? Because that's where they go to for the final battle. They go back to the royal palace to free the pilots and to get into the Queen's throne room. And then when the battle starts between Darth Maul, Kenobi, and Qui-Gon, they're in this middle of this reactor core. Why is there a reactor core in the middle of the palace? There might be an answer. And if someone can tell me, they'll be at, come on, Anthony, really? Anthony said he loved the Are You an Angel line. Again, everyone has their reasons. And I don't know, I think it might be what comes after. Maybe the relationship at Attack of the Clones is a little bit weird. So that Are You an Angel line kind of, but he also add that he's heard this from other pilots that have come by, not something that he just made up. He said, oh, I hear they come from the moons of Yeo. That's what other star pilots said. So it's not something that he made up, it's stuff that he's heard from others. But again, if you liked it, again, more power to you. Who am I to say this about line? So yes, let me see what else. And I think that's it for the things that I really didn't like. Oh yeah, another thing. It's not something that I don't like. Something I saw today was they bring Anakin. Hey, you're no longer a slave. Come up to the starship, and they just leave him in a corner, getting all cold where the droids are. And give him a room. Give him a blanket at least. I think he didn't have a blanket, but give him a room. All right. Anyway, that's it for the things I didn't like. Again, there's a lot more positive. I didn't think it was going to be this way. Phantom Menace, love this movie a lot more today than I had in the past. All right, so I went on Twitter a few days ago and asked you guys to let me know what you thought about The Phantom Menace when it was coming out. Where were your thoughts about this movie? Before we go into that, hi, Natalie from The Force of Light Entertainment. How are you doing, Natalie? You just join us in the last 5 minutes. We're almost done, but thanks for coming. I always appreciate your support. You guys have a great show over there. So yeah, give them some love also. And then Michael asks, because this in Star Wars, why does a lightsaber work when in our world it can't just enjoy it? Which I guess is my thing about the reactor core in the middle of the palace. Again, I've seen this movie over 20 times in the, well, it's been 21 years, and today's the first time I think about that reactor being there. But anyway, all right, so I did ask for you guys to tell me what were your feelings when this movie came out. And I got a few things. First off, Fred from Death Star Dispatch. Fred, thanks for sending your reply. Our thoughts are with you. You're trying to quit smoking. I know it's a difficult battle. So our thoughts are with you. Even if it takes more than one, that's fine. Keep fighting at it. It's important. So good luck. So he adds, The Phantom Menace was the first film I ever saw in theaters and my first Star Wars experience. That film changed my life, and it is severely underrated. And I agree with you, severely underrated. And I love hearing that people got into Star Wars because of the prequel trilogy. Again, being 40 years old, it wasn't for me that I didn't get into it at that point, but great to hear from others. And then over at the Sarlacc Digest, they said, Duel of the Fates is obviously a highlight of the entire saga, though I do prefer Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith in the prequel era. I know, nobody picks Attack of the Clones, but I do. With that said, it's hard to beat the excitement leading up to The Phantom Menace, Celebration 1 in Denver, the first midnight toy release, the midnight show premiere, watching it 15 times in theaters. Woof, I think I saw it 3 times. So Sarlacc Digest, 15 times in theaters, great job. Severely underrated, like you said, Fred. So yes, thank you guys for sending your comments. And then let's end the show, because we're 3 minutes over, with our favorite part of the show, when we hear about you guys in hashtag Ask the Rebellion. So I asked you guys if you had any questions related to The Phantom Menace, and you did. So I have one question to go over real quick. And this is from friend of the show, Ben, also known as at Chintzy Bitnik, and he asked, hashtag Ask the Rebellion, always use that tag, boys and girls. Do you think that the wealth of expanded universe content that they've released surrounding The Phantom Menace make it a better, deeper film, or was it always that and the film simply got a bad rap because it wasn't what fans wanted after waiting so long for a new Star Wars film? Thanks, Ben, for that question. And we talked a little bit about it through our commentary today. I do think that a lot of people had issues with it because they wanted an old Darth Vader already. They wanted Anakin to be a little bit older, not this 8-year-old kid. So again, expectations already before the movie came out created a lot of issues with it. There's been a lot of great new expanded material with the Queen Shadow, Queen Peril, Master and Apprentice, Dooku Jedi Lost, all of that in this early stages of the prequel trilogy have added a lot to it. So I do think that fans are coming back to it. This past 10 years, I would say, the prequel trilogy is getting a lot of love. And this past few years, it just keeps growing and growing, especially with the Clone Wars and all that, but that falls a little bit down the line with Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. But for the Phantom Menace, yes, I think the expanded material has added more lore to it, and a lot of people are going back to it. But like I said, when we started talking about it, I saw it today and I didn't find a lot of issues with it. I love almost every single part of it. So I do think it is underrated because it falls in that, it's that prequel trilogy. It's a lot of CGI. And then what comes next, what a lot of people kind of visualize as the worst or not their favorite Star Wars movie being Attack of the Clones, I think Phantom Menace kind of leading into it also has this bad taste when it shouldn't. So yes, like Ben said, it's severely underrated. The expanded material on it has helped a lot because you get to learn more about the characters, more about the handmaidens, why they're so important with Padme, Master and Apprentice, when Obi-Wan tells, oh, don't go against the council again. You'll be in the council if you weren't this headstrong. And we know why in Master and Apprentice. So yes, it has helped. But I think people had a different idea what to expect for this movie before it came out. They shouldn't, because don't go with crazy expectations about it. And you'll enjoy it a lot more. All right, so that brings our show to an end, a little bit over an hour, so we didn't do too bad. Let me finish up with a couple of comments from you guys saying, don't worry about it, Natalie, you're late. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Like I said at the beginning, we're trying to keep it to an hour, these solo shows from 5 to 6. And then when we have guests, we're trying to go 5 to 6:30. So 60 minutes for solo shows, 90 minutes for guests. So we'll see. Thank you, guys. Thanks for everyone that took a few minutes to be with us today. If you're still here in the chat, please make sure to hit that like button. Thumbs up. I think all of you guys are subscribed, so thank you. If you're watching this later on the replay, make sure to subscribe also. Leave a comment. What are your thoughts about the Phantom Menace? Even if you were here on the chat and you want to leave a comment about Phantom Menace, good, bad, your favorite memory about it, what you thought about the title, the trailer, just let me know. If you're listening to this later on the podcast, make sure that you rate and review also. And just send me a message on Twitter what you thought about the Phantom Menace, and we'll keep the conversation going. So you can find me, as always, on Twitter and Instagram at Radio Rebel Pod. You can look for our show on all your favorite podcast streaming channels. And you can, if you're listening to podcasts, you can watch our YouTube shows every week, Saturdays at 5 p.m. by searching Radio Rebellion Podcast. We are at 45 followers at the moment. If we can get it to 50, I'm not making any promises, might do a giveaway. What? I don't know, because I don't have anything. But we'll see. So not promises, because my kids always say, you promised. No, I didn't. Maybe we'll do a giveaway. But in the meantime, stay safe. Be safe. May the Force be with you.
Radio Rebellion.